And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Life is Like a Movie Sometimes. My first guest is the America's answer to the King's Speech. He's considered one of the world's leading communication coaches. We're going to discuss speeches that shook the world. My second guest is one of the founding members of the 1960s group The Tokens. He's turning his attention away from music, and he's written a new novel. We're going to discuss his latest book, Null Quotient. My third guest looks at men as a species and offers advice to women on what to look for in a man. You'll be particularly valuable information if you're going out on the dating scene for this weekend. As always, if you're interested in joining the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Richard Green is called the Master of Charisma by none less than the Sunday Times of London. He's considered one of the world's leading communications coaches. His specialty is helping clients overcome the fear of public speaking, a service that he provided to Princess Diana in 1996. An attorney by trade from the USC Law School, Richard left the practice of law to share his communications breakthroughs with presidents, prime ministers, princesses, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and so forth in over 25 different countries. The work includes message development, media training, speech writing, and of course, speech coaching. He's come up with an interesting list of our top presidential speakers and how he ranks them. We're going to discuss not only speechifying, but also his list of top speakers. Welcome to the show, Richard. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. And I can't wait to hear your third guest talk about men as a species.
Well, men as a species. He wrote this book. It's called Man Versus Boy. You'd be amazed how remarkably short the book is. So there's not a lot of substance there. But we'll get into that with him later in the show. I'm happy to have you on for any number of reasons, because rhetoric and public speaking is extraordinarily important. As we saw in the 2008 elections, a talent and a skill for speaking can really take you a long way in this world. So looking first at you, when did you first discover that you had a talent for public speaking and coaching others to speak?
Well, I was an attorney, and I was involved with the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith, their speakers bureau. And we would have competitions, and I would go out to groups and talk, and I just found that I enjoyed it so much, because it's this great opportunity to just share what you feel and to make a difference in the world. And most people, in fact, 41% of people, cross-culturally, more or less, are so afraid of public speaking that they don't do it, because they believe that, in fact, it's something other than having a conversation, which it's really not. So that was in the early 80s. I then met Anthony Robbins, probably the greatest public speaker, at least commercially, in the United States ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I became his lawyer and then traveled around with him and was mentored by him and stayed up till 3 a.m. almost every night working with him, talking to him, learning from him. And I said, gosh, you know what? All the things, Tony, that you teach people around the world, those can be applied so beautifully to teaching people, coaching people to be better public speakers, getting over their fear, learning how to sell a message, learning how to laser their message, learning how to, in fact, have a conversation with 1,000, 5,000 people, learning how to be on television, all of that. And so for the last, 26, 27 years, that's what I've been doing.
Well, I mean, it's a phenomenal career, and you've accomplished so many things in that short amount of time. You know the old adage, the old saw about people at a funeral, that people looking at somebody standing, giving the eulogy at a funeral, most people would rather be the person in the casket than the one giving the eulogy. That's the fear of public speaking that most have. Let me ask you, Richard, in your law school training, what in your law school training, if anything, prepared you for public speaking?
Oh, my God. Being a lawyer is such a huge asset, not necessarily to connecting or engaging with people on a human level. It sometimes is the opposite of that. But you learn in law school how to make a case, how to, in a linear, logical, compelling way, put forth a proposition that a judge or a jury will agree to. And that is exactly what you're doing when you're speaking to Wall Street, or you're speaking to investors, or you're speaking to a bunch of people on behalf of a charity and you want to raise money. You've got to make a case. And in my 5 Secrets of the World's Greatest Communicators, there are 5 secrets, and one of them is to have a lasered, compelling message, and being a lawyer teaches you that.
All right. Well, we're talking to Richard Green, everybody. His book, Words That Shook the World, 100 Years of Unforgettable Speeches and Events. We're talking about public speaking, and I was just going to ask you about your 5 points. So let's jump into that. The first one you said is having laser focus, having a laser message. And I want to challenge you on this if I can, Richard, because
please.
In today's society, too often, we're inundated with sound bites, that laser-focused message that you're talking about, and we don't get the substance. So talk to me. When you've got laser focus, that's one thing. But how do you get away from talking in cliches and sound bites?
Well, that's not necessarily not a laser focus. For example, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. The only thing to fear is fear itself. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream. I'm the luckiest man in the world. Those sound bites actually contain from, Lou Gehrig and John F. Kennedy, Franklin Roosevelt, those contained, and Ronald Reagan, contained the essence of that message. And you can do that. But the thing that most business speakers do, especially the really smart ones, is they are so filled with information and data, and they want to impress people. Hey, I know what I'm doing. So they throw as many facts against the wall, kind of like spaghetti noodles, hoping that something will stick. But that's not how the human brain works on the part of the audience. The human brain needs to have a focus and then a couple of facts connected to that. And you want your audience members walking out of the room thinking one thing other than, yeah, he's a good speaker, or yeah, he's not a good speaker, or he knows what he's talking about. What's the thing? What is the unique thing about you or about your idea that, in fact, is compelling? And that means you have this theme, like I have a dream, and then you have facts, and then you repeat it, I have a dream, and then you have other references. And that's how you construct a great speech, like a composer constructs a great piece of music.
Well said. I like that. There's a nice soundbite, too. All right, we're talking to Richard Green, everybody. You've got the 5 points, the first of which you've outlined is laser focus. What are the other points that you have that make an outstanding speaker?
Probably the most important one is to understand that there are 3 things that are going on when you are giving a speech or communicating even one-on-one to another person. That is, there is the words that are coming out of your mouth, but 93% of the impact that you're going to make on that other human being or those other human beings, and even on television could be millions of them, is the voice tone and the body language. We call those the nonverbals. A lot of speakers focus so much on the words, and then the delivery is lousy, and they're not using their voice tone. They're not using their body language to share the enthusiasm that is, in fact, what they're feeling at the moment. So it's secret. That secret is to use the nonverbals, not just the verbals. And Martin Luther King, for example, if you took the pauses and the punctuation out of the greatest speech of the 20th century, the I Have a Dream speech, it would be a medium-quality speech.
Is that right? So much a dramatic influence was done with the pausing that it just catapulted it to the top.
Well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
So I have a dream today. Pause, 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 pause. Now, there was a lot of punctuation there, a lot of voice tone that created a little more energy, and then it was a pause, right? As opposed to, I have a dream today that one day little black kids and little, right? You get it?
Yeah, I get it. I see what you're saying. It's how you inflect, how you use, in fact, not only your tone, but your body language, which Martin Luther King, among other the great speakers. Yeah, master.
For example, in my seminars that I do around the world, I take that speech, and I read it both ways. I read it the way he gave it, or, a little bit of it, and I read it the way, without the voice tone and the body language, and within 30 or 40 seconds, people want me to stop reading the speech because it's too painful.
All right. We're talking to Richard Green, everybody. We're talking about public speaking, his 5 key points for being an effective public speaker. So understand that words are only 7% of what you're doing. Have laser focus. What are some other keys that listeners can take away?
For those of you like Princess Diana, who I was summoned to Kensington Palace in 1996 by Princess Diana to help her with her public speaking. And so when I saw the King's speech, it was like deja vu.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Jeffrey Rush at the Golden Globes, and I said, dude, that is exactly what a real speech coach does. And I worked on content and delivery, not on the mechanical problems that he did, but it was the same thing in that last scene where he's literally trying to birth that speech like a midwife out of Colin Firth's mouth. Number three is to realize that when you're giving a speech, the great speakers, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Franklin Roosevelt, and Barack Obama at his best, you're not giving a speech. You're not having a performance. You're not doing a presentation. You're having a conversation with the audience about something that you are inherently passionate about.
Interesting.
And if I asked you and you were scared to death of public speaking, if I said, hey, you know, are you scared to have a conversation over a coffee? You would say, of course not. And I said, well, bring that same thing, same energy into your speaking, and it's magical how it works.
All right. Well, let's drill down on your experience with Princess Diana, because I think that's really, truly an example of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. I mean, yes, she was painfully shy as a teenage girl moving into the royal family, but she quickly, through your help, became the best, well-known public speaker of the royal family. I mean, she eclipsed Charles. She eclipsed Elizabeth. She blew them all away. What did you see in Diana that you were able to bring out in her that transformed her into that beautiful butterfly?
Well, I'm not going to take credit for that. I mean, I helped her a little bit. She had a lot of help, and she was maturing as a human being over the years. I mean, she got plucked out when she was, 19?
19 years old.
And, in fact, I talked to her once. I said, wow, Diana, I saw one of your early speeches, and she literally put her hand up, and she said, don't even go there. I don't even want to hear about it. She was so embarrassed about how bad she was in the beginning. But what I shared with her was that it was her nature, her essence, her incredible charm and charisma that was way more attractive than anything that Charles could do, because the first time we talked, she said, well, you know, I don't like doing it, and I'm so envious of Charles. He can just get up there, and within the first few seconds, he's telling a joke. And I said, look, Charles has nothing on you. That's all he has is a prepared joke. You have this unbelievable force of personality, Diana, and all you need to do is let that out.
All right. We're talking to Richard Green, everybody. We're going over his top factors for being a great public speaker, and clearly Diana was able to be conversational and also passionate about what she believed in. What are the other two factors that people need to focus on when they're public speaking?
Well, the fourth one is a little complex, but it's fascinating, and this is something I learned from Tony Robbins and neuro-linguistic programming, is that there is four actual parts of the brain. There are four parts of the brain related to the five senses of, you know, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. And the great communicators use all four of those parts, those languages that are connected to the five senses. Good communicators use three. Average communicators, no matter who they are, what their title would be or how wealthy they are, only use two, and they're never going to have a great impact. And really, really horrible ones use one. So it's very much like learning, you know, golf or tennis, being able to strengthen and access those different, literally different neurological parts of your brain. John F. Kennedy uses four. Barack Obama, at his best, uses four. Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, Oprah Winfrey uses four. So it's really a fascinating thing. And the fifth secret is something that everybody can do. And that is, before you ever speak, and you can see the difference with Barack Obama, you can see the difference in every president, when they're speaking about something that they are genuinely, authentically passionate about, as opposed to not. And the biggest secret is that you tap into your heart and your gut, and you tune into that authentic passion that you have about a particular topic. The passion will provide the fuel to overcome your nervousness. The passion will create the connection between you and the audience members and get them to do something different, think something different, or feel something different, which is the ultimate goal of giving a speech.
All right, we're talking to Richard Green, everybody. His latest book, Words That Shook the World, 100 Years of Unforgettable Speeches and Events. Before we leave your 5 points, Richard, I want to ask you, maybe there's a sixth one here, and that would be breathing. How important is it breathing in order to deliver a great speech, and why didn't that make your top five?
Well, you know what? If you're going to give a speech more than about a minute and a half, I would suggest that you breathe.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But no, the way in which one breathes.
Well, that's so funny because one of my clients who's got a host on a television show, I watched him on TV and I said, dude, you have to breathe, because he was not breathing. I mean, obviously breathing a little bit. Breathing is part of the body language, and it also relates to the part of the brain that is very important, which is the kinesthetic part, touching, tasting, feeling, that emotional part. You can't get into that part of the brain. You can't be centered and calm unless you are breathing properly, and a lot of people don't. But see, it's this vicious circle. if you're nervous and you think you're giving a performance rather than having a conversation, you're going to tighten up. When you tighten up, you're not going to breathe. When you don't breathe, you're not going to be able to connect emotionally with the audience.
All right. That answers the question for me. We're talking to Richard Green, everybody. His latest book, Words That Shook the World. Richard, you've got a list of the greatest presidential speakers. You've sort of stack ranked them from the 1930s to now. We're not going to have time to get into that. But if people wanted to learn more about you, learn more about your book, or see that list, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
A couple of things. Brand new book, the second in the series, Words That Shook the World. The first decade of the 21st century features Barack Obama and his amazing 2004 keynote address at the Democratic Convention. People can go to sbyobama.com. They can check that out. They can just go to my main website, richardgreen with an E on the end, .org. And I also have a 47-minute training video, The Five Communication Secrets That Swept Obama to the Presidency, and it covers everything that we've been talking about. And in fact, Billy, I'll send you a copy, and that's the five communication secrets.com.
Oh, Richard, thank you. That's very generous of you. We've been talking to Richard Green, everybody, Words That Shook the World, and his latest book, Greatest Speeches of the First Part of the 21st Century, First Decade of the 21st Century. Richard, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
You're welcome, Billy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.